on the blood, and last week or 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the application in the Old Testament, and this week we're going to look at the New Testament, and I hope that you will be blessed by that. Amen. And we see in the Old Testament that God instituted types and shadows. You know, there was all these ceremonies that seemed to be so tedious and so a lot of trouble to go through, but God was actually setting up a roadmap. The Old Testament is like a map that is fulfilled in the New Testament. And we see that in Hebrews, it says, chapter 12, verse 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Does anyone remember what I said Abel's blood spoke? What did Abel's blood speak? Revenge, judgment. God told Cain, "I've heard the blood of your brothers crying out to me," right? Abel's blood spoke of judgment, of justice. But Jesus's blood, the scripture here says, speaks of a better things than Abel. Yes, we deserve judgment. Yes, we deserve condemnation. And I'm so glad that it's not Abel's blood that is speaking tonight. Amen? Because the Bible says all have what? That's right. All of us. There's no perfect people. I need God's grace. You need God's grace. Amen. And so it's good that the blood of the New Testament speaketh better things. It speaks grace. It speaks love. It speaks healing. And we're going to look at some of the things. Now, in Revelation, and this is the scripture I'm going to end with, so I hope you'll remember it. I'm going to ask you about the scripture when I get to the end. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, "They overcame him," who? The devil. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony is really faith, because what you're speaking about is by faith. So it takes two things. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When you get up and you say the devil is not going to have dominion, when I told you Sunday, sin shall not have dominion, that's a word of testimony. And it takes faith to be able to say that, because you may be going through some things. You may be financially going through some things. You may be dealing with sickness. You may be feeling down. You may be having financial problems. But you have to get up and you have to declare. That's why, even though the devil's been trying to make me sick, I'm not sick. Amen. I'm going to declare by the word of my testimony. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The Bible says, "And they love not their lives unto death," because your word of testimony is going to be tested. It's easy to say, "I love God," isn't it? It's easy to say, "I'll do anything for you, God." That's what Peter and the disciples did. They all declared how much they loved God, but when push comes to shove, only John was there. Because as Brother Chris said, he wasn't depending on how strong his love was. He was depending on how strong Jesus' love was. Amen. So it's two things: overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Those two things. And you have to back that up by being willing to suffer. It says, "And they loved not their lives unto death." Now, you ever thought about what it would come to if you had to give your life for Christ? I have. I've speculated. I said, well, if it was something quick, I think it would be easy. If they were just going to shoot me, I think I could deal with that. I think I could deal with that. I think my faith is there. If it was burning, putting me on a stake and burning me, you know, I'd have to fight my flesh on that one. But the Bible says that to really overcome, I heard a preacher say, the only thing that frightens Satan is committed Christians. He's not scared by people who are wishy-washy. But if someone is willing to die for their faith, that's what scares him, because he knows that there is nothing that he can do. Amen? So we said last time about the blood, that it was given as an atonement. Leviticus 17:11 tells us, "For the life," or the nephesh, "of the soul of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement or a covering for your souls. And we explain the reason why, because the spiritual covering, because of sin, had died. And man would have perished, first the physical, and then eventually the soul in hell, without a blood covering. And so God prepared an animal sacrifice, not that he wanted to. He said, sacrifice an offering. I didn't want it. That wasn't God's plan to kill the very animals he had created, but it was his only means of providing a temporary solution. So the blood was given as a covering for the soul. And we see now in the New Testament the fulfillment of all these sacrifices in the person of Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist, as he's called, saw him, he said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Amen. Taketh away the sin of the world. That's why we can be here. That's why, according to Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly to a throne of grace. Because otherwise, we'd be hiding under a bush like Adam and Eve. Amen. The devil would be already telling us all the stuff we've already messed up since Sunday. The thoughts that we had that weren't right. Amen. But because of his blood, we can come boldly to a throne of grace. Hebrews 9:13 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. This is what they had to do to set apart, to hallow anything that was going to be used for God's service. You needed the ashes of a red heifer and the sprinkling of the blood of bulls and goats. And once that ceremony was done, that whatever it was, the altar, the temple was sanctified, the garments were sanctified. And the writer of Hebrews says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The problem is always our conscience. A baby is innocent because it has no knowledge of what? Right, it has no understanding of conscience. And it's the understanding of consciousness or consciousness of sin that brings guilt. And guilt puts up a wall which brings doubt. And then we don't pray believing. And so we're always in a fight, always struggling. But he says here, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Fulfilled. The soldiers divided his garments. They gambled for his garments. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And I explained the fact that was the blood. Remember, I've given you the blood as a covering for the... So Jesus poured out his soul, or in other words, the blood, unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He was crucified between two thieves. This is such a fantastic chapter, such a powerful prophecy. It details exactly what happened. Only God could have put that in the Bible hundreds of years before it happened and bring it to pass. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. Aren't you glad about that? You know what? I think the devil has deceived us, and we keep going back to the gravesite and digging up the old man. The Bible says we are buried with him by what? Baptism. And we should leave him buried. We shouldn't go dig him up. Amen? We should leave him buried. You know, in the atonement ceremony, the high priest put his hand on the goat that was to take away the sins. And when he did that, that goat was sent away. They never brought it back. It was sent as far away as it could be. And in essence, that took away their sins. Amen. Symbolically, the sins were pronounced upon the goat. In other words, the sin was pronounced on the body of Christ. And he took away our sins forever. Amen. He settled the question of sin forever to them that will accept it. Amen. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, the difference, one of the other differences between the blood of the bulls and goats is it only covered. It couldn't redeem. Amen? Colossians 1:14 tells us, in whom we have redemption. So all it could do was hold. You know, it's like a pawn shop. It could just hold it there. You couldn't, it wasn't enough to release the goods, so to speak. You couldn't redeem it with the blood of bulls and goats. All it did was cover the debt to some extent. But it wasn't enough to set it free. But Jesus' blood is an overpayment. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. And Hebrews 9:12 explains how that works. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal. How long is eternal? Forever and ever. Eternal redemption for us. That means Satan can't come and take it back. It's eternally redeemed. Hallelujah. See, the blood of bulls and goats, all it did was stop the pawn shop from selling it away. But it couldn't release it, so to speak. But when Jesus came, it released it. Amen. Eternally. It freed us from the grave, so to speak. So the blood, his blood does not just cover, it redeems. I need to slow down. I think I'm going too fast. All right, I'll try and slow down because I have a lot to get through tonight. Galatians 3:13 tells us that again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You see, the firstborn was redeemed. The firstborn should have died of everybody who was not under the blood. But if you were inside that house where the blood was applied, you were saved. And because of that, God set up the symbol of redemption of the firstborn. That meant every time a firstborn child was born, the couple to whom it was born had to redeem it symbolically. They had to, because that child really belonged to who? Belonged to God. So instead, they had to bring an offering, a lamb or a goat, to redeem the life of the firstborn. And they were to number the firstborn. And of course, that was the sin that David committed when he numbered Israel. And in numbering the firstborn, he never paid the sacrifice. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Well, ultimately, it's death, isn't it? But the curse of the law is that we cannot keep it. Try as we might, we cannot keep it. Therefore, we come into condemnation. Condemnation. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So now, let's look at what they did in the Old Testament as part of the offering. And I want to go in a little bit more detail than I have before about the blood covering. All of what I was teaching so far was just to bring you back up to date. Okay. God was so specific in the Old Testament. When you kill the animal, that wasn't it. In fact, I was on a Jewish website, and I was reading about what they taught about this, and they said that this killing the animal was just the beginning, that you had to be an expert in this next phase, which was, believe it or not, sprinkling the blood. It had to be done in a specific way, according to their teachings, to the Mishnah and the Talmud. That means it had to be, a basin was brought. One of the priests had to keep stirring the blood to stop it coagulating. And then the person who was the senior priest would take it, and he had to put it, sprinkle it in the corners of the altar in a certain way, you know, east, west, north, south, and then in a certain specific way. He had to sprinkle it before the curtain. And then, of course, on the Day of Atonement, The high priest had to take the blood in and sprinkle it 7 times. There's this number associated with the sprinkling of the blood, the sevenfold sprinkling. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. So whenever you see something like that, you know it means something. And of course, 7 is the number of completion or perfection. So when they brought the blood was applied to the ground 7 times, was sprinkled from the priest's finger 7 times. Again, look at how many times God tells them this. Leviticus 4:17. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil. Leviticus 16:14. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat. Here's what I was saying. Eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. So God is actually trying to reinforce this thing about sprinkling the blood 7 times. Again, in Leviticus 16:19, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Numbers 19:4, and Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. Every time the blood was supposed to be sprinkled, it had to be done in a certain way. 7 times. 7 times. Now remember what John the Baptist said of Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away sin of the world. So we should see this 7 times reflected somewhere in the New Testament, because you can see it's in the Old Testament. Every time there is the blood sacrifice, it had to be done a certain way. Well, what I'm going to show you is that the blood was sprinkled in the New Testament 7 times. Let's start with number 1. Luke 22:4, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down where? To the ground, to the earth. Now, you may think, well, that doesn't happen, but there is actually a condition, and I put it up there, that's a real condition called hematidrosis, hema from the Greek word for blood, and I just put some of the writing. Hematidrosis is a condition in which the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood, occurring under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress. The Bible said he was in agony. Why was he in agony? You know why? I'll tell you what I think. He was declared the sin offering. He who knew no sin became sin. That was the one thing that Jesus had not experienced up till that point. The Bible says he was in agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood. That was the first sprinkling that was mirrored in the Old Testament when the priest was told, you got to sprinkle the blood. And then in the Old Testament, it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that they would pluck the beard, tear out the hair from his face. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. In fact, when he was in the high priest's house, they not only hit him with their fists, they hit him with rods in the face. And my cheeks to those who pull out the beard, I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. And then, of course, the third time the blood was drawn from Jesus was when he was scourged. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And, of course, the Romans had a whip that had 9 tails, and it had embedded in the whip were bones and pieces of metal, so that when it hit and they pulled it back, it ripped out the flesh. It ripped out the flesh. Of course, in the Passion of Christ, you know, they tried to portray that. And they probably didn't even do it the way Jesus was treated, because normally crucifixion takes 3 days for a person to die. He was dead in 6 hours because he had been so brutalized from the night before. All night he had effectively been tortured and beaten and whipped. And then, of course, they planted the thorns. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, Matthew 27:29, they put it on his head. And I don't think they just rested it on his head. They squashed it down on his head. And there was another blood of sprinkling that spurted out and hit the ground. And they a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, if it was me, I would have just zapped them out of existence. If it was you, that's probably what would have happened. I'd have said, "I'm not putting up with this. I don't have to put up with this." But he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. His mouth was dumb before his shearers. So this was another fulfillment of the sprinkling of the blood. Just as God told them in the Old Testament specifically how to do it to the sacrifice, Jesus began to fulfill that through what they were doing to him, the Lamb of God. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then, of course, the next part was when they started to nail his hands and his feet. When they first did that hammer, you can imagine that blood spurted out. You have some very big veins that go down into your wrist. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And of course, it was predicted in Psalms 22:16. "For dogs have come past me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." And so you can imagine blood was pouring out of Jesus from probably hours. No wonder he died before they could kill him with the breaking of the legs. That was number 5 and 6. And finally, after he was dead, John 19:34, "But one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." You see, Jesus fulfilled the sevenfold blood of sprinkling, that every time there was a blood sacrifice, the priest was told, "You're going to have to sprinkle the blood seven times on the earth," because that was going to be the covering for the soul. And as I said, it was for a sevenfold redemption, a sevenfold sprinkling that God had a purpose in modeling in the Old Testament. That's why so many times he told him, "This is how you got to do it. If you don't do it this way, it doesn't count. It's not just killing the animal, but you've got to sprinkle the blood 7 times. That's why in Hebrews it says, having our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. We need that blood applied to our hearts. Amen. It's not just the sacrifice, but you have to do the whole thing. Perfect obedience is the only thing that God accepts. Some people halfway do stuff and think it's okay. If Naaman had only dipped in the Jordan 6 times, guess what would have happened? He would have come out the same way he came. He had to do it 7 times. Can you imagine? Well, he was on his way home. He wasn't going to do it at first. It was someone said, "Listen, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it?" He was saying, "Listen, look at this dirty old Jordan, this muddy old bog. We have beautiful rivers where I come from. And I brought him all this money and he wouldn't even come out to see me." You understand? We have to obey God exactly if we want the blessing. We have to obey the word the way it's written. Some people think that God understands. He understands obedience. That's what he understands. So we see that the priests were told this was how you have to do the ceremony, because this was going to be literally fulfilled. We see Moses was told only strike the rock 1 time, because that was what was going to be literally fulfilled. And we see the fact that Moses struck the rock 2 times, which broke the symbolism that God had set up in the Old Testament, and the reason why Moses was not allowed to cross over because he just missed out on that one little thing. But it was so important to God that Jesus, the rock, should only be crucified one time. That's why we have to obey what God tells us to do. So now the sevenfold sprinkling, each time the drop fell, it was for a different purpose. The first purpose was for redemption, as I said. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. When he was in the garden and that agony of understanding what it felt like to have sin applied, the blood vessels burst. And he was in agony, and it says that they fell like drops of blood. That was for our redemption. The blood of the Lamb, sinless Lamb, could not release the righteous dead from the grave. Only someone who was sinless, who had given his life willingly, and who was the sinless Son of God, could do it. In whom we don't have just atonement, we have redemption. That's different from atonement. Atonement just means covering. Redemption means it's paid in full. No, nothing owed. Anyone ever paid off a car note? Paid off a huge bill? Can you remember what you felt like when it was the last payment? Paid in full, and you get the title and you know you don't owe anything now. Of course, it's all beat up by then, and you know you're going to have to just go out and get another one. But just for a month or two, you can pretend, I owe nothing. I owe nothing. Amen. Colossians 1:14 reaffirms that. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. It was more than a covering. The Old Testament sacrifice is covered. Jesus' blood redeems, sets us free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal, there's that word, redemption. Not covering, redemption. Amen. Amen. So the number two sprinkling gives us cleansing. 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light, and there's a condition for this, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This blood has a condition. And then the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Now in the Greek, it's a present, ongoing thing. As long as we're walking in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing us. As long as we're having fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing us. It's a present, it's in the present tense. It's a continual thing. We have to continue walking in the light. And as long as we're walking in the light, as he's in the light, then we have fellowship. That's so important because we need to be on one accord. If the blood of sprinkling, he died so that they could be one. That's his final thing he said to them, that you may be one. When we're not on one accord, we're not walking in the light. When we're not walking in the light, you know what we're walking in? Darkness. Then that blood of sprinkling is not applying to us, and we're going to have some problems. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. And it's a continual thing because we get up and we're walking. Remember what it was in those days? They walked with sandals on unpaved roads. We kind of get a little bit of it when we walk through this snow. Once they've put, it's about 2 inches and it's half melted. And it's become dirty and cruddy. No matter how nice your shoes is, you know, you're trying to, especially you women, are trying to tippy toe, but it's going to get messed up. No matter what you do, if you're going to walk out there, it's going to get messed up. That's why you then need to come into the light and have fellowship and let the blood of Jesus. It's a continual cleansing. Amen. Amen. So the second sprinkling was for cleansing. The first was for redemption. The third was for justification. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified. How? By his blood. Because we couldn't do it, our blood was tainted. In fact, in the Old Testament, blood of anybody defiled the land. You understand why? Because it was sinful blood. It defiled the land. Anytime blood was spilled, the land was defiled because it was sinful blood. But so we couldn't use our own blood for justification. But the blood of Jesus justifies us. That's why it was sprinkled 7 times. The third time is for your justification, just as if you never did it. Isn't that awesome? Just as if you were still a baby. Just as if you were innocent before God. I'm telling you, once our faith understands what Christ did for us, and when we truly believe it and accept his love, our prayers would be so powerful, so victorious. But there's some conditions, right? Remember, there was 2 conditions. You overcome by the blood and also by the word of your testimony. The word of your testimony is how you live your life. It's your daily conversation. It's how you live your life. Because if you are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, you're going to walk and talk differently. You're going to live differently. Is that right? Yes. It's the 2 things combined gives us the victory. So, and I put that up there. Much more than being now justified by his blood. And we have an acronym up there. Because love overpaid our debt. Isn't that awesome? Because love overpaid our debt. See, the thing that the devil comes and says to me sometimes is, you know, he couldn't love you because there's 7 billion other people just like you. How could he love you alone? Well, he doesn't love me alone, but he's God. He's infinite. His love cannot be measured. He's got enough and more to spare. Amen? We are justified by his blood. So that third drop of blood, that third sprinkling, represents justification. First was redemption, then cleansing. Because we're clean, now we are justified. Who shall lay anything, the charge to God's elect? It is God that does what? So Satan can accuse you all he wants. That's what they did. One day Jesus and his disciples were walking through the corn. And the accusers of the brethren came by. Hey, your disciples are breaking the law. But you know who did the justification? The Lord of the Sabbath. He said, don't you know who's here? It's the Lord of the Sabbath. And if I say they're doing okay, then that's fine. Because it is God that justifies. Who shall lay any charge, right? It is God that justifies. That blood, that 7th sprinkling that hit the earth was for our justification. Amen. The 4th one was for our sanctification. That means our separateness, our being made holy. Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore Jesus also that he might sanctify the people. How? With his own blood. That's how we are sanctified. In the Old Testament, after the covenant had been written, Moses was told, you dip get the blood and you take a stick and you get a hyssop bush and you dip it in there with water, and then you do what? You sprinkle the people, sanctify the people, sprinkle the blood over them. That is going to separate them. I would think so. I would think that would separate you if you had blood sprinkled on you. Yesterday, my car was so filthy and dirty, it needed some sanctification. So I went into this car wash place. Now, some 2 or 3 years ago, I had damaged my mirror. So it looks okay, but it's really not okay. It's hanging on there. So when I went into the car wash, you know, those rollers started to bend the mirror back. And I just forgot where I was. And I rolled the window down. So I got sprinkled. That certainly made me different. It separated me from most of the other people that went through the car wash. I got sprinkled. And then, you know, the window wouldn't go up fast enough. After I rolled it down, I realized, wait a minute, you're crazy? Because just at that time, it started doing that foam and different color and just spraying it all over. So I can understand how the people felt when they were sprinkled. It certainly is going to set you apart. Amen. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So the blood of Christ separates us. It separates us, makes us unique. It makes us different from any other religion. Amen. Yeah, there are religions that do sacrifices, but this, the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, makes it different. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The sacrifice, the animal was then burned outside the camp. Jesus was taken outside Jerusalem to be crucified. Hebrews 10:29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. It's speaking about us. Once the Bible says, if we have tasted of the heavenly gift of the things to come, that's not a good place to draw back and to give into the world. It's time to repent and make sure that that blood of sprinkling is not wasted. Amen? That it's not wasted. So we see that the Bible tells us that one of the seven sprinklings was for our sanctification, to set us apart, to hallow us, to make us special. The Bible says that we are a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Isn't that something? You should be proud that you're a peculiar people. You're a Pentecostal, you speak in tongues. Yes, I do. And I'm happy about that. The lady I've been witnessing to, I went through the line today and she said, you know, tomorrow's begins the 40 day of Lent. And I was trying to explain to her, we don't do that. I said, no, that's not how it works. I said, I'm going to call you and I'm going to explain. Amen. We are sanctified by the blood of Christ, not because we do penance for 40 days, not because we go and, only eat fish for the next 40 days till Easter. No, we couldn't do it in ourselves, but we are separated and hallowed by the blood of Christ. Amen. Number five, the sprinkling was for the remission of sins. Ephesians 1:7 tells us that in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness. How? Through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. So when God told him to sprinkle it seven times in the Old Testament, those priests probably didn't understand what they were doing. I went on the Jewish website to see if they had any light on this. They had no light whatsoever. They couldn't explain why it had to be done seven times. There was questions from other Jewish believers saying, why had they had to sprinkle it seven times? And they went through all kinds of hoops, but basically it was because there are mysteries. Yes, it was a mystery, but it's revealed in the New Testament that it was the Lamb of God that was going to be taking away the sins of the world. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's why when he was going to Jerusalem and Peter said, you know, you don't have to go. If you know they're going to kill you, just don't go. You know who was like that? Paul. You know they're going to kill you if you go to Jerusalem. You're going to be taken. The prophet Agabus bound him and said, he says, listen, none of these things move me. When we get that kind of faith in God where the devil is throwing destruction at us, the devil wants to bind us, when we can get like Paul and say, none of these things move me, then we have begun to arrive. Amen. But we see that number five, we get remission of sins. Hallelujah, because of his shed blood. Number six, we get healing. By his wounds or by his stripes, we are healed. The stripe was produced when they whipped him and tore out the flesh, and you can bet blood flowed. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. So the priest would tell his son, yes, we have to sprinkle the blood seven times. And he would say, well, why? He says, well, because God said so. They didn't understand the types and shadows that would actually come that foreshadowed what would be done to our Savior. That blood would be drawn from him seven times in his passion. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And Peter quotes that Again, in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins. Wasn't like the lamb where you had to keep doing it. You had to go get another lamb the next day. Boy, you had to be rich to be a sinner in the Old Testament. Really, you'd have had to keep bringing stuff. At least I would have had to be rich. Might have had to be at the priest's house every day with something. Isn't God merciful and gracious? Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. That's a statement of faith. Amen. So healing was part of the sacrifice, the sprinkling, the sevenfold sprinkling. Number seven, and it goes back to the very first scripture that I read. We overcome. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That's how we defeat Satan. Romans 5:9 says, much more, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Much more. Much more. God's blood is an overpayment for whatever you've done. Much more. Much more. You owed a dollar, God paid a hundred. Much more. Paul says, much more. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. See, the blood saves us through his death from the wrath through him. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off were made nigh. Again, by the blood of Christ. It's the blood that helps us to overcome Satan. Remember the two things. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That means it was their faith walk, their lifestyle, their belief, their trust in God. It's those two things that will enable us to be overcomers. Verse 14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That means, as we taught the last time, everything was harsh. Pick up sticks, stoned to death. Maybe not only you, but your whole family. You know, everything was so harsh. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh by his death the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's what the angels said when they announced his birth. Peace on earth, goodwill. When it said peace on earth, it wasn't speaking about peace between men. It was talking about peace between men and God. That's what it was. In the Old Testament, Elijah could call down fire on people. The New Testament, no. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. See, many of us are like James and John. We want to call down fire. But we need to go and learn, as Jesus said, that I'd rather have mercy than what? Sacrifice. You know why? He was the final sacrifice. He was the final blood sacrifice. Yes, we now have to bring our bodies as a living sacrifice, but he was the final blood sacrifice. The sevenfold sprinkling was fulfilled literally in Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So this is what you need to meditate on. He's done his part, the blood of the Lamb. So we have to do our part, the word of our testimony. Amen. If you could stand with me, I'm finishing a little early because we have to have a men's meeting and I have to also meet with a few people. But I hope you have been blessed. I know I went really fast. But I want you to see the fulfillment of the sevenfold sprinkling. When John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away. He wasn't just speaking when he said sin. He meant everything. He was our redemption. He was our cleansing. He was our justification. He was our redemption. Hallelujah. He was our healing. Hallelujah. Amen. He was for the remission of sins, and he is for us becoming overcomers. Amen. You know, if we were like that woman who came to Jesus, we'd be willing to give anything. She went and bought this alabaster jar, and all she could do was weep. She wanted to show Jesus how thankful she was, how grateful she was, because she knew what he had saved her from. The Bible later reveals to us that she, of course, was Mary, the sister of Martha. And that's why Jesus said, because she has been forgiven much, she loves much. I've been forgiven much. Amen. We need to love much. And Jesus went on to say, to show that this was special, he said, wherever the gospel is preached, this shall be mentioned as a memorial, that she was willing to show her love. We need to show our love because, as I've detailed, look what our Savior did and went through. That his blood was literally sprinkled on the earth 7 times from the time he was in the garden till when he was put in the tomb, fulfilling the sprinkling that the priests had to do in the Old Testament. Each one of those sprinklings was for us, for our redemption, our cleansing, our justification, our remission of sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Eventually, our being overcomers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See, in the Old Testament, as long as they stayed in the house with the blood, the destroyer couldn't touch them. He had to pass over. When I see the blood, I will pass over. See, that's how we overcome. If you have the blood applied, if you walk in the light, as he's in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, then the blood of Jesus continually, that's what it is, it's in the present tense. It's a continuous work, cleanses us every hour, every day. That's why the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession. He's not a one-time lawyer. You pay him the one fee and he's done. No, he's in there the whole time pleading for your liberty, for your case. He ever liveth to make intercession. Isn't that something? The way I look at it, it's my day of atonement 24/7. Amen. It's my day of atonement. See, the day of atonement, for one instant after the priest came out and he lifted his hand and he pronounced the name of the Lord on the people, for that instant, all 5 million of the Israelites were perfect. And I don't know how long it was till someone in the crowd thought some horrible thought. And then it was all downhill till next year. But you see, our advocate and high priest is continually, he ever liveth to make intercession. It's a continual cleansing. I am perfect not because of who I am, but because the sacrifice, his blood cleanseth me from all unrighteousness. Amen. We're going to close this Bible study. I hope that you have been edified, that when you see the blood of sprinkling, when you think about all the 7 times Jesus' blood was poured out, there's probably a third part to this, because when he resurrected, he said flesh and blood cannot inherit. He had given his all. He was now empowered completely back to where Adam and Eve was by the Spirit. Amen. He had given the blood all. Amen. Hebrews tells us that he entered in with his own blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. But if any of those 7 sprinklings have hit you, amen, let's meditate upon them this week. Because it cost him greatly. It cost him all of his blood. As prophesied in Isaiah, he's poured out his soul unto death, so that we could have each one of those sprinklings, each one of those cleansings. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, that you paid the ultimate price, that you poured out your soul, that you would provide for us redemption. Hallelujah. And cleansing, forgiveness of sin, sanctification and justification. Hallelujah.